Sentinel Online. Now loading the Beast Unleashed podcast. This episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines Review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, GFG1 Mike, and I'm joined with Steve Megatron. Hello.
Goodbye.
And Pecan Court Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going. Today we'll be starting season 2 of Beast Wars with the first, it's actually 3 episodes, but we count Coming of the Fusors as one whole long story. So, what have you guys been up to? Steve, why don't you go first?
Lots and lots of Shiza. Besides, coming
from your dog.
Yes. Sure. But, I got the, because I'm trying to get some more voice acting chops built up, so I somebody suggested to me to get the Art of Voice Acting from James Allberger, which actually has some pretty interesting information in it from what I've gotten so far. I've also gotten a Batman Arkham Asylum, which for reasons I'm not going into has been a pain in the ass to install, and it does work, but alas,
hello leg meet boot.
Yes. It's gotta be, even though it looked like it was factory sealed and everything looks legit compared to the, animated series that I got, which was blatantly obvious. So yes, that's pretty much all that's gone on with me as of late. And next week, well, actually, when you're hearing this, it'll be last week, I'll be on vacation.
Or you would have been back from vacation.
Same difference.
Yeah, whatever.
There was a vacation in there.
Somewhere, yeah.
Yes.
And Michael, what have you been up to?
Same old, same old. I'm getting over my cold, and the boys are getting over their colds, and there's no more throwing up or runny noses or anything like that. We're on the road to recovery.
That's good.
Yeah, so we're relatively happy. I have been rearranging my Transformers cabinets, the collection cabinets, and I've managed to make 2 more shelves. So I think I had taken suggestions from Twitter as to what I should do with one of the shelves, and I think General Techno had said, put Energon in there, and I said, okay. So, I've got 2 shelves for Armada and 2 shelves for Cybertron. And to be honest, I didn't like many of the Energon toys, so I just didn't open many of them. I've got them all, but I didn't open many of them. So they're all sitting in huge stacks in my closet. So I'm thinking it would be a good idea to go ahead and open a few of those and put them on, make a second Energon shelf and put them in there.
Yeah. Let's see. I guess we should bring up, I don't know. We're probably going to bring it up in all the shows, but I don't know if we're going to bring it up in this one too much, seeing as how this is pretty much the Down the Tubes show.
We can fix that.
We don't necessarily have to be
disgusting throughout the entire episode.
Yeah, right.
Well, part of it.
We have a new sponsor, partnership, whatever, something Michael actually lined up, is our UK affiliate, blogomatic3000.com.
Woohoo.
Woot.
And what does Blogomatic have on the agenda today?
I
have no idea. Let me look.
Yeah, I don't know. I know they put up a couple of reviews. And
they had a really nice Iron Man 2 review.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago. By the time this airs, it'll be a couple months ago.
What?
Yeah.
I just read it the other day.
I said by the time this episode airs, it will be about a month ago. This episode doesn't air till almost June.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Birthday to me.
Because we release them every other week.
Hop to it, Skippy. Sorry. I don't know what day it is half the time anyway. So.
Me either. So very, very cool. They're, you know, like Michael said, they wrote a very good Iron Man 2 review. Everyone should have seen Iron Man 2 by now.
In some form or another.
I used to say that.
Yeah.
Again, with the leg meeting the boots.
What you be talking about, Willis?
I actually don't know. My situation is not gotten any better or any. It can't get any worse. I'm still working on a few things as far as figuring that out. I don't want to go into too much detail on that. Let's see. What else? What else? What else? Yeah, I guess that's it. So we are going to get into some episodes.
What hit me?
A quantum surge. It must have knocked everyone in the ship offline. You must reach my body before the Maximals revive.
Anything to get you out of my head.
Air Razor, are you damaged?
Don't think so.
I wouldn't care to go through that again.
Rattrap and Cheetor!
Hey, looking for me?
By the Matrix.
What? What's with you two? Is my gearbox hanging out or something?
Jumping gyros, what happened to you?
Me? Oh, what happened to you? Hey, I'm, gorgeous.
The surge must have mutated your superstructures. I wonder what it did to your beast mode.
Beast mode!
Now that's gorgeous!
I'm a rat with wheels! Cool.
Hey, I wonder what these gizmos are for.
Hey! How do you work these things?
This is gonna take some getting used to.
Wasp Nature is alive!
Megatron, what happened?
I've had a change for the better. Yes.
Alright, so we are going on to season 2, like I said, and it starts with Aftermath. Optimus Primal is dead, obliterated in space while destroying the Planet Buster. Just as the Maximals begin to regroup, the Predacons begin to celebrate. A quantum surge from the transwarp explosion showers radiation down upon the planet, killing Pterosaur and Scorponok, yay, and reconfiguring most of the Cybertronians' bodies and transformation sequences. Thus are born the Transmetals as the Beast Wars escalate to a new level of excitement.
Okay.
Scorponok was okay. Pterosaur, meh, he can die.
I was the other way around.
Yeah. See, no, I think Pterosaur was a really good character. I liked his voice. I liked his Starscream-ish, you know, mm-hmm. attitude. Scorponok, I think, was underused and underappreciated for the most
part. He was dumbed down for the most part.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, they could have used him a lot more effectively. He, especially as a Transmetal, he really could have come into his own. I don't think we got a Transmetal Scorponok toy.
We did in the form of a McDonald's toy.
That doesn't count.
I know technically that doesn't count, but we did at least get a Pterosaur.
Yeah, that wasn't no. Actually, that was a nice. We got a repaint of the Pterosaur too, didn't we?
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah. Oh, but, in fact, yeah, we got the Armada version with the Minicon posts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was a nice one. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was really nice.
Speaking of Transmetal toys, I already reviewed this one on ToyCast a number of episodes ago. It was one of the ones Michael sent me, a Transmetal Air Razor. Yet, when this radiation thing hits, only Cheetor and Rat Trap get the upgrades. Tigatron and Air Razor were there too, damn it.
Well, here's my theory on this.
Because they were going to become transsexual later?
No. This is before that, even. Anybody that was born from a stasis pod on the planet was not affectable because they were born of that world, whereas everybody else came to that world already as robots and had to scan life forms, whereas these guys were all goo. The only reason that, like, Rhinox and Dinobot weren't affected and Waspinator was because they landed in CR tanks.
Okay, so it's basically the Dinobot syndrome. And I don't mean Dinobot from Beast Wars. I mean Dinobots from G1. It's pretty much that there was something in G1 where what was it? The stupid juice that affected all the Autobots that Megatron had. The serotonin or I don't know. It's some fucking stupid thing. It wasn't cosmic rust, it was something else that rendered the Autobots inactive, and the Dinobots were the only ones that weren't affected because they were built on Earth. So it's that basic same logic?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Rat Trap takes command again.
Only this time he has a lot more style with it.
Very true.
And he knows what the hell he's doing, and he's not as cocky.
And his gearbox is hanging out. His gearbox.
He's a Gibbots.
He's a Gibbots? What's a Gibbots?
He's a Gibbots.
Is my Gibbox like hanging out or something?
Yeah, G-I-B-B-O-T-S. That's what it sounded like he said.
Oh, my Gibbox. Of course, because that's what dangles below the...
Yes.
yeah. What's only your position? Directly below the Gibbox.
See.
There
see,
it goes.
This time they shine.
Yeah, exactly.
This is where it starts.
We're not even 20 minutes into the show and we've already gone downhill. And
this is where, you know, at first it's all ooh and ah, and then there's the running and the screaming.
And there's like, ooh, what? Holy shit.
Yet another bitch punch from Air Razor to Black Arachnia. That was awesome.
And she delivered it so well.
Yes. I know everybody loves Dinobot. Whatever, and the main reason why everybody loves Dinobot is because of Code of a Hero, or whatever the hell the episode's called. But
there's
again,
more to it than that.
But again, Dinobot moves out of the fucking way, and Rhinox gets hit again.
That's a pussy move right there.
Oh,
Cat Gatbot cannot fly.
You can now.
I love it.
I love when Megatron first shows up and you see it just, like, damaged in background. And then you see his eyes and you can tell something's different about him.
Oh, yeah. That's,
that sounds more sinister.
He's just a big dark silhouette with red eyes.
Yep.
It was a very cool unveiling for his new transmetal body.
Yeah, my note for that was, ooh, purpler, shinier T-Rex. Yay. Transmetal 1 Megatron.
See, I'm just not a big fan of the transmetal T-Rex body.
I love it.
I think it's lame when, you know, he's got rotors that pop out of his hips and he roller skates around.
That was funny.
I think roller skates are lame, but I like how he can fly. I like the overall robot form. I like the whole layout of the transmetal better than the original.
Yeah. I was rewatching these before we started recording, and I'll probably I think it's in Coming of the Fusors, so I'll bring it up then. I had an issue with Megatron's tail gimmick.
Why? Yeah, we'll bring that up later.
Yeah, I'll bring it up later because I didn't notice it until the Coming of the Fusors battle. I wonder whose hand that was at the end.
Oh, in the stasis pod?
Uh-huh.
Never does tell.
I think it was the body that they used for Primal later in Coming of the Fusors.
Couldn't have. That whole one was it was a blank for one, and two, it was all liquid form.
That's what I'm saying.
That hand was solid. And
this was a zombie form.
Right, but what I'm saying is the one that they had in the base that the primal super pink juice went from the machine to the thing wasn't the liquid form. Didn't it basically create a new body for Optimus?
It did, but that wasn't the hand that popped up at the end of the episode. That was more so to symbolize the something going wrong with the pods for the Fusors.
Okay.
Even though when you check the Fusors in the next, you know, they don't show that hand whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, didn't they say there was four pods that landed, two by Predacon territory and two by Maximal territory?
I don't recall.
So much for being a Beast Wars guru.
Whatever. Like, I'm going to remember that. I don't believe so. I believe there was only three that fell on that instance.
Oh, okay.
Remember, you are under oath.
I'm under recording oath.
Again, another episode that leaves me wanting so much more. I mean, this episode was great. It was very fast-paced. I loved the... One of the big things about a lot of people have about people getting new powers or new abilities, whether it be Transformers or superheroes or whatever, a lot of people I know complain about they just know how to use them as soon as they get them. And I loved how Cheetor kind of did it. It kind of reminded me of the Iron Man Mark II scene when Tony was learning how to fly. The same thing with Cheetor when he was learning how to fly with the jets. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. Even though Rat Trap adapted faster.
Yeah. Steve, what do you have for Aftermath?
Besides the new modes and the Gibbots, you have finally two ultimate deaths of Predacons. You know, Pterosaur and Scorponok, which at first I wasn't sure which one was going through transmetalization when I saw it the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously both died. I guess they were kind of doing that to leave it open that they could bring them back. Kind of like they did something with Megatron with, you know, lava and transmetalizations. But, Waspinator did not have a splat moment.
No, he avoided it.
Yes.
He avoided it by landing in the CR tank.
Yep. And also in the Rhinox vision of the explosion, you see Primal spark, and then you see his robot form fly out of the spark.
I totally missed that.
I caught that because I used to have a screen cap of that.
Yeah.
But, also in the other notes, I guess Waspinator was supposed to die.
Was he really?
Yes. That's what it says in the wiki anyway. Oh. I did not know that.
Well, I wonder at which point exactly did they say, oh, by the way, we're going to kill off, you know, these three characters, and then everybody rises to Waspinator's defense.
Well, I guess that he had a lot of popularity, and so the writers wanted to keep him for comic relief, so they granted him amnesty. That's why
I thought it was going to be like a letter writing campaign or something where everybody freaks out and sends mail to Mainframe. Don't kill him. Don't give him the cheddar biscuits.
I believe. Yeah, besides Eraser and Tigertron finally getting the hell out of the storyline for a while, I believe that's all I got.
Okay, what about you, Michael?
After watching this, I don't know about you guys, but I was having trouble remembering what exactly happened at the end of Season 1. Because you've got Tarantulas in Black Arachnia's head, and I'm thinking, what the hell happened to Tarantulas' body? And all I could remember was him catching on fire and streaking by.
Yeah, he got blowed up.
Yeah, I'm thinking, well, where was his dead body? I don't remember his body, like his dead body being left anywhere. But I do remember Black Arachnia hacking his brain. And I remember you were saying that, you know, the spider's mind is a horrible place to find yourself in.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, he reverse hacked her and got inside her head.
Yep.
But which was very cool.
Yeah, considering he wasn't actually dead, he was just burnt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, so I mean, I didn't realize he was dead. But now it's like there was a Vulcan mind meld, and now, you know, he's kind of like the Spock to her McCoy.
Avoid that red matter at all costs.
It blowed up real good. I did like Inferno coming back online when the energy bars went down and he popped his head back on.
That was cool. That was a nice scene. You know, speaking of that scene, I was thinking the lighting was really cool because it was kind of dark, and he's like in the background like, haha, I'm alive again. But the lighting effects were way better. Especially season two. You've got the scene where like the spark flies down through the hallway and the lights follow it.
Yeah.
The lighting effects are just night and day. And I know I bitched and whined early on in season one about the CGI, but they really raised the bar on season two. And I've looked ahead to season three a little bit, and they jump up an equal amount there as well. So, I mean, by the time you get to the end of season three, it's night and day. You know, the CGI between where they started off and where they are at the end.
Even at the beginning of Beast Machines, like the first episode and the first 10 minutes of the show, you get to see their original beast forms from season one, and it's night and day difference between what they look like in both shows.
Yeah. Oh, well, Beast Machines was years later at that point. But, you know, just between season one and season two, it was like, oh, my God. Just the lighting effects. And I don't I don't want to say an old school gamer, but I remember in 3D first person shooters when they first started really using lighting effects to their full advantage, and you know it's a huge difference just to be able to track a rocket going, you know, down a hallway, let's say, yeah, by the light, to see the shadows. They used a lot of shadowing.
Yes.
Here. That they just didn't use before.
I remember back in my day when Intellivision was still popular. You old man.
Well, no, I'm just saying, you know, my first computer was a 386 DX that I played Doom on. You know, so it's like I remember for old school first person shooters.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they first started, again, using real 3D, when they first started using, you know, bump mapping and really good lighting effects, it's just, you know, it's amazing what they can do with that. But here, especially with this episode, the first episode of season two, they really put the lighting in. And it's amazing. It looks really nice.
Yes, it does.
Yes, very, very much so. I really like the way that they... Now, because I've done two full watch-throughs of the entire Beast era in the past, three months that I've had all the DVDs together, you could make one giant box set, even though they're two different named shows. You could make one giant box set for this series because it's just so fluid for the most part. At least with all the continuity episodes, at least with the season finales and season premieres, they really, they know how to basically pick up where they left off a year before, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you could still come into Aftermath. I think you could. It just depends. You could come into Aftermath cold, but you...
I kind of disagree.
Well, I said you could. Didn't say that it was... I'm not saying that you should come into Aftermath cold without watching any of Season 1. I'm saying it's possible that somebody could. They're not going to get all the tie-ins, but, if they're just going to watch, random episodes, it's all right.
A goodly chunk of the history, like Scorponok and Pterosaur, kind of die in the beginning of the episode. if you're coming in cold, you have no idea who the hell Tarantulas is or why he's in Black Arachne's head. You have no idea why Rhinox was in stasis. It's like, and I'm thinking about it. Has Rhinox been in stasis since Low Road? Because they're like, oh, Rhinox is in stasis, and he pops out all of a sudden. It says, what'd I miss,
No, he got hit by the cyber venom in the last episode, and they threw him in the CR tank.
Yeah. Rhinox doesn't go into stasis until Coming of the Fusors.
No, Coming of the Fusors, he puts himself in that machine to go look for Optimus.
Yeah.
But in the beginning of Aftermath, he's still in stasis.
Is he?
Yes. Yeah. Because he has the dream about Primal, the flashback.
Right. Okay.
Which my first thought is, right, why is he in stasis? There's a lot of stuff going on that carries over directly from the last episode that I couldn't quite remember.
Yeah.
What was going on? And yeah, so it's like I don't think you could come into this one cold and not really know.
No.
Yeah. But I like Rhinox finally gets out of the stasis. And the first thing he does is bitch slap Dinobot. He's like, I'm in a very bad mood. And Dinobot's like, okay, fine. Point taken.
And he drops him.
Don't hurt me. Yeah.
Lifts him up over his head.
I like that. But the whole Cheetor, Waspinator, and Rat Trap, Megatron battle kind of drug on forever. But it did begin the tail whip era. It's the first time we'd seen a tail whip.
Yeah.
Which I hate.
Does Cheetor even have a gun in Transmetal 1 mode?
Yes, his two hands.
That's right, his hands.
Head form.
Yeah. That's right. I always forget about that because I remember... The only reason why I remember that is because I think it's because of... Actually, the season finale of Season 2. I almost said Aftermath. The Agenda, where he and Optimus are going into the quote-unquote cave where the Energon stash is. And they're going in like cops. They're having all these police poses of covering each other. And it just Cheetor just looks to me like a cop. A robot cop. Or a RoboCop. There you go.
But he
take that, 8209.
In the next episode.
He what?
His handguns.
He's got a handgun. Does he talk with his hands a lot? Does he go, rawr, rawr, rawr?
They'll give you the best hand job you'll ever have.
He bites your winky off like that. Because he's got teeth in his...
Yeah.
And Steve can do this much better than I could, but Megatron had a very cool line about new packaging and same product.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that.
Do it.
New packaging, same product. Losers.
I like that. Because they're just in a big heap, and he's like, God, you guys suck.
he's like, even with new bodies, you guys blow. He says, I've got an upgrade and I can actually use it.
I can roller skate, motherfucker. What can you do? All right.
I can fly. Dinobot fly.
It's just, yeah. But, you know, I liked the whole transmetal thing. I kind of felt like Rhinox got the shitty end of the stick because he didn't get a transmetal body, and there was really no reason for him not to.
His toy got it, but he didn't get it because, again, he was in the restoration chamber. But
yeah,
which was I don't know. I wouldn't have mind seeing him as a transmetal, although it was nice to see some keep their original form.
Yeah, I think it would have been nice. But, yeah.
Yes, anyway. We'll get to the other additional transmetal maximal in the two-parter, because I know Michael does not like that transmetal form.
Oh, well, are we done with this one?
Yeah, well, I think so. Why?
Well, I was going to say then we should move on to the coming of the Fusors.
Do you got to go potty? Or?
No, I'm just saying, because we're already starting to jump into the coming of the fuse horse.
Yes.
Yeah, got a little doggy do to clean up there. And,
next is the two-parter, Coming of the Fusors. Infiltrating the Predacon base, Dinobot steals the two golden disks from Waspinator, but not before the two agree that with only one moon above, there is now proof that this planet is indeed Earth. Megatron travels to a sparse, distant forest where two stasis pods have crashed, and welcomes his to his side two new Predacons, Quickstrike and Silverbolt. His army bolstered, Megatron prepares an all-out attack on the undermanned Maximal base. Let's see. At first, before I started, or because I don't read the booklet before, like I watch it. I read the booklet when we do these things. So I didn't even know about. Because when my first note was, what the hell does Waspinator know? Because at first it's just him. It's after Megatron flies off and he looks up in the sky. And it's just him there. It's not Dinobot there yet. And I'm like, what the hell does Waspinator know? Waspinator's a moron.
Apparently he knows more than what he lets on to.
Yeah, apparently so.
He has plans.
Yeah, that was the other thing. What the fuck kind of plans does Waspinator have? Other than going...
He says all the time. No, at the end, he says, I've got plans, and he ends up king of the world.
Well, true.
Don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Make sure you remind me of that so I can bring something up about that, because I just thought of something about that. But anyway.
I'm the king of the world.
Yeah. You know, what's funny too is that was his the last line in Beast Machines. when he's flying around and Waspinator says, I have plans, or Waspinator has plans, which bothered me because I didn't like seeing him on Cybertron. I was kind of hoping he was still on Earth being king of the world.
Actually, it was Thrustinator, not Waspinator.
Because
it was Waspinator's spark in a miniature version of Thrust's body. Anyways.
No, he was in a miniature version of Waspinator's body with Thrust.
Oh, that's okay. That's what it was. Whatever. I knew it was something to that effect. Anyway.
He was thrusting the wasp.
Ew. Okay.
Yeah. In any case, I was just kind of disappointed to see him there because, again, I thought he was back on Earth, main king of the world.
Yes. The truth of the discs comes out. They tell the future. Boy, 2015 is so going to be a rough patch.
You can tell that from the discs.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a little picture of Chupacabra Prime right there on the disc.
Since when did Inferno get two guns?
Since he magically pulled one out of his thorax.
His blender butt.
Yes, I took a rocket out and, well, lo and behold, it's a gun.
His blend dick.
No wonder there's flames.
You got a burning sensation? No, there's fire coming out my butt.
I didn't take my Metamucil.
Silverbolt, yay. Quick Strike, meh.
Now, you can't really say that because, you know, Quick Strike, he's just mean and ornery. I like him just for the fact that he's just so over-the-top mean and ornery.
Quickstrike is a replacement for Scorponok, pretty much.
And he's got crabs. No, he's like a dumbed-down, hyper version of Quickstrike.
You mean Scorponok?
Whatever.
I don't really see... I mean, I kind of saw Scorponok as kind of like just a dumb follower. Whereas Quickstrike, you know, he's a follower, but I mean, he's like a little rabid chihuahua. He's always yap 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 yap, and he's like, let me bite you, and he's just mean, and I like it, and I like his mannerisms as far as, you know, the things he says. You know, old Blunderbutt misunderstands my need to kick his keister. Like what?
Oh, like how he got in a fight with Inferno, and Inferno just stood there and watched him bite him.
Oh, and he got in a fight with Silverbolt.
Friend, let me introduce you.
Yeah. I can't do this line justice, but I love it when Megatron goes, "Welcome, my new Predacons," and then he has this big shit-eating grin on his face.
Where he's like posing for a family.
Exactly.
Oh, look at my children. I hacked their hard drive, so now they're mine.
It's a big group hug.
Ugh.
Come here, little boys.
Okay, no.
Yes.
No. We are not going there.
I just did.
Well, then I guess we can start calling you Sean Schlong.
Oh!
Rat Trap, geez, Optimus, how did you do it? I like this because it shows that when needed, Rat Trap, well, just isn't a verminous scum.
Yes, he actually had feelings.
Well, until the end of the two-parter.
Yeah, we'll reveal that later.
Yeah. Tarantulas lives, damn it.
Yes. I like this form of Tarantulas the best. I hated his old form.
I don't like any of his forms. I think it's funny with the motorcycle thing, but no.
I like this form, actually. I mean, I think you would prefer this form because it's less spidery. I mean,
it's more
he's still a spider.
Yeah.
He's what?
It's more transmetally.
Exactly. He's more of a robot than a spider.
True.
He's a robot in disguise.
But he's still all Tarantulas.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still like, not so much screw Megatron, but, you know, how can I twist this for the most benefit to myself?
Yeah, very true. Hell yes, Cheetor, jets, maximum burn. Quoting Optimus, gotta love it. And then another good quote was roadie mode, maximum rubber burn. Really? Give me a... Yeah. Come on, Rat Trap. That's a little... Even though I love the Transmetal 1 Rat Trap the best out of all the Rat Trap designs, that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all know if you don't like the Transmetal Rat Trap toy, so shut up.
Well, no, I don't so much like the Transmetals in general. Transmetal 2 maybe a little better because those are more twisted and kind of evil looking, you know, as opposed to the Transmetal 1 toys. But, you know, I understand they got to give them all new nicknames. Like, Cheetor calls himself the Cobalt Kitty.
Yep.
I thought that was funny, but, you know.
Rat Trap calls him Sky Cat at one point. Western Showdown music.
I liked the old Western.
Yeah, that was very, very cool. My next note also goes in a line with another note I believe I took for the second part, but when we first see Megatron, like, actually see him as far as his robot mode for the Transmetal 1, I thought his tail was there permanently, but it actually switches arms a few times.
There's a handle on the...
See, I didn't know that at first because I noticed, I believe it's in the second part.
You thought it was like a head kibble type
thing.
It was permanently on there? No, it's like a gun.
Yeah.
I like that he's got real hands this time around.
Yeah. You got to be careful. Well, I want to say it with the toy. You got to be careful because that will break off.
Well, it's not even the arms, it's the part that slides out in his sides, like his ribs. They just, the little mechanism in there, the plastic is cheap, and when it gets stuck in robot mode too long, it snaps. I've gone through two of them.
Really? I don't actually transform mine. I just leave him alone. I know.
I left him in robot now.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I've got mine. I know a while back they had I forget who did this, if it was Unicron.com or the Lucas Brothers or who, but they made some garage kit, made a golden disc reader. And it was
from the Agenda?
Yeah. And it would, you know, the end of the tail, you'd pop it off. And you'd pop on this new reader thing that would hold a golden disc and spin it.
Ah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was the Lucas Brothers from Unicron.com.
Yeah, it was very cool. I almost bought one, but I
almost did too.
Yeah, but I think they were like $30. And
yeah,
I
it was kind of a bit much.
Yeah,
I wasn't really a huge Beast Wars fan at the time, and I just couldn't justify it. But I heard that, you know, if you try snapping the end of that tail off, it will break because of the gold plastic, and a lot of people were very upset.
Yeah. You talked about scene transitions back in episode 9, Michael, about the finger into the button.
The button pushing.
Well, what I liked about this two-parter was the Wild Wild West burn in and out transition.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was very cool.
That wasn't the only transition.
I'm talking about between the end of the first part of the first episode and then the beginning of the second part of the two-parter.
Right. Was this the one where they used the maximal symbol?
No.
On Cheetor?
No, this is the one at the end where...
I know what you're talking about, but I'm wondering if this is the episode that also used that as a transition.
Yes.
Okay.
They take the maximal symbol off Cheetor's head after he's looking at the camera, and it spins, and then it goes to the next scene.
Oh.
It was kind of Batman-ish, where it was like, da-da-da-da-da!
Pretty much.
Another thing I have to point out that I think, Michael, you pointed out a couple of times about the pairing offs. During the showdown scene where they pair the good guys against the bad guys, Rat Trap and Tarantulas are faced off against each other again.
Yeah, well, I mean, everyone was kind of facing off against somebody because they were way outnumbered.
Well, right, but what I'm saying is, remember way back in season 1 when they did the fight on the mountain in Beast Wars Part 2?
Yeah, oh yeah, everyone's got their own nemesis, if you will. Yeah.
So that's all I got. Michael, why don't you go next? What do you have for notes on this one?
I'm surprised you didn't mention this, but it was the best waspy splat alert ever.
Mm-hmm.
Waspinator is dismantled piece by piece and then cubed. And then winds all the way to the CRT.
I forgot about it. Damn it. Yeah. And see, that's funny because that's one of the... I've already grabbed three quotes for this episode of the show, episode of the podcast, and that's one of them. And I completely forgot about it. I laughed my ass off.
It was awesome, and it took like 5 minutes. Yeah. I mean, it's like they just kept at it, and I'm like, man, this really sucks to be him.
Because Waspinator and Dinobot were conversing about the discs, and then Dinobot threw him into the electric field, and then he's cool, while he's watching him being dismantled, and then, which, actually, it's kind of funny, I think this may be where they got it in TF Animated for a Blur being put in a cube form.
No!
What, is that
I'll have to ask Derek J. Wyatt on Twitter.
Oh, yeah! That you should, go type that in right now.
No, I'm not going to type it in now. I'll ask him later.
We'll have it for the next episode.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, that's interesting that this cube shows up so many times. When the Maximals got a blank protoform, the first thing I thought was, all right, there's Optimus.
That's the first thing I thought.
Yeah, all I needed, because, you know, all we need to do now is get his spark back in his body. Which, you know, shouldn't technically happen unless you've got, like, a Starscream-like indestructible spark.
I'm trying to think here.
He technically started joining the Matrix, after which, that's why Rhinox had, being that Transwarp Space was ripped open with that Planet Buster. It opened it up so that he could go into the Matrix and retrieve Primal and give him the way back.
Oh, that's... Okay, so I'm like, how the hell did he get into the Matrix? That makes no sense whatsoever. Where did you go? I went to the other side of the Matrix. It's like, bullshit.
That's why in the future... that's why Depth Charge and an Agenda, that's why they... also the Satellite and the Tripredicus Council find out about the Beast Planet.
Hmm.
So it all comes back together in the end.
Yeah, because of this Planet Buster.
Interesting. But no, right about here, they are really missing Optimus Prime.
Oh, yeah!
Because they're getting their asses handed to them, right there in broad daylight, and they know it. It's like, if Optimus was back, we wouldn't be having our asses handed to us like this. But, Predacons just have too many soldiers at this point, which leads me to Silverbolt.
Uh-oh.
He's clearly, virtuous, and, he's like, they kind of push the fact that he's this knight in shining armor, and he's like, a Galahad of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know what Megatron's thinking keeping him around. Because clearly he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Quickstrike is, I'm a bad guy, let me show it to you, But...
Well, I like how Megatron got pissed at him and all of a sudden shoulder cannons turn around and blast him.
Yeah, well, it puts him in a spot, or puts him in his place figuratively, but... I just don't see why he bothers. It's like, all right, you know what, just change your activation code and get over there and let me shoot you.
Yeah.
I don't see why I'm even bothering with
it. I've got more notes about that on Silverbolt when we come up to part two, so.
And lastly, Dinobot in full-on Rambo mode.
That was awesome.
That was so awesome
that Steve actually got the end of this first part when they step into the camera and then the flame out happens. That's the art for Steve's War Stories 2.0 podcast.
Nice. Oh, I saw that on your Facebook.
Yeah.
That turned out nice, yeah. Yeah, no, it was cool because, when he first walks into the ship, he's kind of hiding the disc behind his back so Rat Trap can't see. And this weapons rack folds down, and I'm thinking, he's hiding behind the weapons rack. But then the weapons rack raises, and he's like... Punisher. You know? Yeah. It's just got guns everywhere and ammo belts over each shoulder. Yeah. And
my question
knives.
Is, where the hell was that weapons rack throughout the entirety of season one?
I was wondering that myself, because I'm thinking, did I miss it? Was it there before? And I just didn't.
First time I've ever seen it.
That's what I thought.
And I've watched season one episodes when we were doing season one for the show here. I've watched them 4 or 5 times, and I never saw a weapons rack come down out of the ceiling.
Well, no, it was just I was going to say that it was just recently that they got a skylight.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're getting new shit all the time.
Yeah.
Doing a little house cleaning now that Primal's not around, and they decided that they needed the weapons instead of in the floorboards, so we had to make it come out from the ceiling.
This is where we used to keep like the garden shovels and the spades and that for Rhinox, but he's in stasis, so
now we keep the Rambo gear.
We took all the garden shovels out and replaced it with huge guns and ammo and whatnot.
It's not the last time you'll see that either.
Yeah. What about you, Steve? What were your thoughts on this first part?
I like the darker, grittier tone, as well as the Western tone to it. The Fusers thing, to begin with, didn't settle well with me. I was all good for the Transmetals, but the Fusers I thought was pretty lame when I first saw it. Now, going back to it, it's not so bad.
Too many gimmicks at once?
Well, it's not even the gimmicks, because, I mean, Transmetal's a gimmick. They give them a vehicle mode. But, yeah. I was fine with that because they made them all nice and shiny and gave them something extra to be looking forward to on a toy. I don't know. I think the Transmetal is more of a fun toy and thing to look at on the animation, whereas a Fusor is pretty much just a beast mode that they just cross with another beast. I think the beast thing was kind of just getting kind of lame. The Transmetal was the way to go. But
yeah.
What the hell? I've asked you this off air before, Steve. What the hell is Quickstrike?
He is a King Cobra and a Scorpion.
Okay, that's I wasn't sure which. I knew he had snake parts, and I knew he had some sort of crab something or Scorpo something. Yeah. So technically, he's Scorponok with a cobra head.
Yeah. When I first saw him, before I even saw him on the episode, I saw him in the intro, I thought it was like a Transmetal Scorponok.
Mm. Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
I mean, you would think so. I mean, he basically filled that role, and then, of course, there's nobody to fill Pterosaur's role.
Thank God.
Pretty much. But another scene I liked was where Dinobot was intercepted by while he was looking at the moons. He got caught by the Predacon autocannons and covered himself in mud.
Yeah.
Proximity alert. Proximity alert. And then he just bashes it.
If you ever seen this isn't really as tangential as you may think, but there's a like a YouTube video with Ninja Kitty, and there's the guy with the camera, and he looks around this corner, and there's this little kitty at the far end of the room. And then he kind of ducks behind the corner and then peers out again, and the kitty's like 2 feet closer. And it's just sitting there. And then he kind of ducks around the corner again and then peers back out, and the kitty's 2 feet closer. Up until and it's like Doctor Who's blink, you know.
My cat actually does this.
Oh, it's creepy.
Because I'll hide around a corner, and then I'll turn around and peek at the cat, and the cat will be closer, and then I'll hide again. And then I'll do it for like a couple seconds, and then I go back in, and the cat's closer.
Yeah, it's like freeze.
And her eyes like all bugged out. Awesome.
It's like red light, green light, red light, green light.
Exactly. Mm. That's why I thought that scene was funny too, because it's like the scanner would scan left and scan right, and oop.
And you hear running.
It was just a very funny scene. I liked it.
Another thing I liked was. The Theft of the Golden Disc Part 2.
Yeah.
Dinobot by himself.
Well.
He's like, I've done this before. I got it in hand. Don't worry.
He's like, I know Megatron's protocols. It's just, we'd walk in, we take it, we we leave.
Waspinator splat alert.
Yes.
I forgot again. Damn it. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. I missed both of them. The one in Aftermath, I remember this one. Poor Waspinator. God, he just gets fried.
And another weird part was with Dinobot doing his Shakespeare and hiding both the discs.
Yeah.
Basically foreshadows his death later in the series.
That is actually going to be one of the bumpers for this episode. It's probably going to be before we do the outro, telling people what we're going to talk about next time. So it'll be in here somewhere. I don't know.
You see, now, that is why Dinobot deserves to be in the Transformers Hall of Fame. Because no other Transformer has ever quoted Shakespeare. Not once, but this is like the twice, and I think it happens a third time in the series.
Yeah, somewhere. He does it a couple more times.
Yeah. I mean, you know. You can't. I mean, he's like bordering on Jean-Luc Picard in awesomeness.
Well, and he also is the saving factor in the end of season 3.
There you go.
Not really. That's.
Actually, that's not the clone at the end. I'll explain when we hit that episode.
Well, no.
Let's not spoil too much.
I'll talk about it when we do the breakup.
All right,
we go to the outro, we'll talk about it off air. Anyway, you got anything else, Steve?
I like that Tarantulas has Jedi mind powers.
That's just freaky.
I like where
these are not the goldens you're looking for. They're not here. Go away.
I like where he starts pointing the gun at Black Arachnia, and then Megatron comes on the screen and he just makes her fall on the ground, and he's like, oh, hello, how are you doing? I wasn't about to just slag this teammate.
Yes.
That's all I got on episode...
part one.
Coming to the Fusers, part one. Yes.
Going into part two, with Rhinox unconscious and Tigatron and Air Razor off to scout for falling stasis pods, only three Maximals are left to defend the Axelon. The Predacons attack while Black Arachnia secretly downloads Megatron's backup files of the two golden disks. Just as the battle looks most hopeless, Silverboat defects to the Maximals and a surprise from above turns the tide. Okay, let's see. I've said it before. I love the burning scene, the burning flame transition. I think that's really, really cool. I don't think I've mentioned this before. I know I mentioned Cheetor's gun in his original mode. I like the sound of his gun. With this one, though, Rat Trap's gun. It looks like a pistol, but it sounds like a machine gun.
Yeah. Definitely like that.
This is...
Didn't notice.
You very rarely notice gun sounds, so...
Okay.
Yay, Silverbolt is talking sense. However, he still follows Megatron's order to converge on the Maximal base.
Yeah, again, very obvious that Silverbolt is a Maximal.
Yeah, that was my next note. Could it be argued that Silverbolt was never really a Predacon?
Well, funny thing is, when he was introduced, when he figured out his name, he actually quoted the original Silverbolt from season or whatever of G1.
Yeah.
What did he say?
Oh, how he introduced himself.
Oh.
Like he said...
I'm Silver, and I'm fast. Something like that.
Yeah, he said something along those lines. He said,
I'm long, and I'm strong.
I think my name is Silverbolt. Yes, pure, strong, and fast.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded kind of lame to me, but whatever.
Yes.
I didn't realize it was a quote from G1.
Yeah. I didn't either.
They stole it.
Doggybot will follow Waspinator. Waspinator will lead.
Just like, I like how he reacts to that. He's like,
Okay,
since you know the area better than I do, and Waspinator's like, what?
Yeah, there's more Looney Tunes thing, because the screeching thing comes on, and it's funny because Waspinator has no wheels.
I thought that was Silverbolt that made the... screeching.
Well, either way, neither one of them have wheels.
No, they have...
He almost slammed into him when he hit the brakes. Yep.
They have parking brakes inside their legs.
Exactly. Now, this is... I don't know why I missed the cube splat alert and the other... and the electrifying splat alert, but Cheetor headbutts himself into a Waspinator splat alert.
I did like that.
That was awesome. When I was going through... because there's so many good images from all three of these episodes. I was going through and I was taking screen cap after screen. I had Steve like make up 6 different arts for this episode. We are going to go with the Transmetal 2 Dino Head of Megatron, because that's the one I like the best. I had him make one of Dinobot riding Rat Trap, and my note is Dino riding Rat Trap. And I couldn't remember what the hell the picture was from. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. The Odd Couple. The Odd Couple starts their more bickering. Another running gag we have is Tarantulas always gets splatted with a rock.
Yes. He likes to get squashed.
Yes.
It's never just a simple, you know, flattening. No, it's must be rolled over by a boulder from Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, it's a recurring nightmare of his.
Yes.
Oh, no!
You guys remember the scene where they took, or when they finally, when Silverbolt defected, or when he was about to defect, right when they capture him, he's like, go ahead and finish me off, and Dinobot raises his sword, and Cheetor and Rattrap both go, nah, I love the double nah. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Dinobot had no problem with it. He's like, okie doke.
Yeah. Well, when does Dinobot have a problem with destroying anyone? But anyway, where all are one. Yay, G1 reference.
Where else would they be?
Where were you? I went, where all are one. And that's
what
I'm thinking. How the hell are you doing that? Because that's, I mean, honestly, if I could, if any, all right. If any robot can sit inside that contraption and travel back into the Matrix, then why? It's
why didn't they bring back Optimus Prime?
Exactly.
Oh, wait, it would have created a paradox. He's already on the planet.
As far as I know, the only way to go inside the Matrix is
short circuit yourself.
A complete asinine move of short circuiting yourself. And, yeah, exactly. It's like, how do I commune with the Matrix? Well, I kill myself, and then I die, and that's how you go and talk to the Matrix.
Well, it can also be argued that because the timeline of Beast Wars, because Maximal and Predacon are in the future, or they're from the future, and they're on prehistoric Earth, obviously they're going to have higher technology than the Autobots and Decepticons did. So, you know, there's a little thing to argue about, I guess.
Yeah. Plot through Technobabble.
Yes, exactly. Ion Trail.
Follow the Trans-Ion Trail.
Yeah, speaking of the Trans-Ion Trail, it flows through the Axelon. Looks like there's a big mysterious button there. Shattered.
But again, the lighting effects was
awesome.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love it when I can make BotCon 2008 references. Shattered glass shield effect.
Oh, when the shield's fractured?
Yep.
That was cool. That was another thing that they couldn't have done in season one.
Yeah.
No. And they had the nice slow motion of all of their shock as the shield fell away like glass, having Sentinel fail ultimately.
Yeah. No, that was very, very cool. And, I mean, the explosions were awesome, too. When they had the full-scale attack on the base, and they're all firing, you know, willy-nilly, the explosions were just very well done.
Yeah,
especially when Dinobot got shot in the crowd.
You know, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah,
that's why he went. Oh.
I really like. I was gonna say. I know voice. Shut up. I know voice actors. All right, shut up. I lost it, and then I found it. I know voice actors, especially very well trained voice actors, can go from voice to voice to voice. I thought it was very cool when Cheetor flew in and said, Sentinel, stand down, auto guns online. And then Sentinel comes back and says, auto guns targeting, or whatever the computer said. I find it very cool that Ian can just go from Cheetor to Sentinel in a split second.
I'm not sure he did. No, I mean, to be honest, I mean, nothing against Ian, but generally when a voice actor does more than one part, you know, they'll say one line, and then, you know, have to warm up before they get to the next one.
Well,
and
it sounded like he went from one to the other. Whether he actually did that or not is another story, but just the way that it was edited together,
right.
It sounded like he went from one to the other.
I think Scott McNeil is one of the few voice actors that can jump back and forth having a conversation with two different characters that he's voicing at the same time.
Well, especially Rat Trap and Dinobot. They bicker all the time.
No, it's just terribly cool to see him work.
Yes.
But, you know, I've seen video of Seth MacFarlane doing Family Guy.
Yep.
And he will do, you know, the Peter Griffin voice, mm-hmm. and then try to kick over to Brian Griffin's line, mm-hmm. and he'll say Brian's line in Peter's voice and just literally say the same line three times until he's finally got Brian.
Yeah.
And then kick back over to Peter. So, I mean, it's you know, it's a stumbling kind of a haphazard process, and, well, you know, they're going to edit it back together anyway later on.
Well, it's one of those things, you know, again, there was a story, or not a story, there was a, on the Shout Factory 25th anniversary DVD release of the Matrix set, the voice actor feature on there where they're all telling stories. Somebody told the story of Frank Welker doing a voice session with two characters, and Wally Burr went to stop him because he thought he heard an overlap, and that's why they normally don't have voice actors do the two characters in one conversation deal, because overlap may happen. And it was Frank doing, like, I don't know, two or three or four different characters at once, and Wally Burr apparently thought that there was an overlap, and everybody's like, no, it's just Frank, he's doing four characters. Optimus, Blue Ape, Surfing Mofo, woohoo! I love the Transmetal One Optimus. I love the ape mode. I don't love the robot mode. I love the ape mode.
I like the robot mode better.
Yeah. You know, to me, I think the robot mode looks like an ape mode too. He's got an ape face. It just doesn't make any sense.
I want that toy. Just for the surfer mode.
I think he wants a big metal banana.
What?
Big metal banana.
Oh, he didn't enunciate that correctly. I didn't get
the... I was trying to do that.
I thought he was trying to do it in Spanish. It was a banana.
Banana.
A banana.
Yeah, call McDonald's with that one. That'll be fun.
Yeah, of course we're
going to carry bananas.
Hopefully. I was gonna say,
I've done that one. They don't know what to do.
I was going
to
say, hopefully Steve's voice is up to par for this, but he's going to have to say, flight is no longer your advantage, Optimus Primal.
Oh, that
yeah.
one.
Do it. Do it right now.
Flight is no longer your advantage, Optimus Primal.
You rock.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be here all night.
Catching up to new people.
Tip your waitress.
What was the line? I've got some catching up to do, new people to meet, and most importantly, kicking Rat Trap out of my quarters. Hey, the guy was dead.
I like the line where Rat Trap's talking about Dinobot being on Dinobot's riding on top of him, mm-hmm. and he says, we would have been here sooner if Dinobot here wasn't such a porker.
Yeah.
He's like,
lose a few kilos.
He's like, the vilest ride of my life.
You know, I love that.
I love the look on his face whenever Rat Trap transforms and says, hop on.
Yeah.
And he's like, ugh!
Yeah.
He's like, no thanks.
Yeah, he's like,
I'll wait for the next car.
I'll wait for the next taxi, thanks.
It was just a great look.
Did you guys notice the Inferno and Megatron's splat where they head swap?
Yes, I love that. Heads.
That was awesome.
That was so awesome.
With Inferno's head on top of Megatron's body, you think Inferno would be
laughing
like,
and
yeah, he's like, look at me.
And Megatron goes, and punches him in the face.
He's like, you know what, I got your body now, I'm just going to bitch slap you.
That's what you get for
Which
calling
me
your queen.
Yeah, exactly, call me a queen now, bitch, come on. But yeah, now I'm the queen. But like, no, I thought that Inferno could have kept that body for a bit. That would have been interesting.
And you know, these three episodes today that we've talked about, I don't think in any of them, I almost said Rat Trap, Inferno even says, you know, the My Queen bit.
No, he saves that for later.
Yeah, I don't think
he uses it when they're in dire, you know,
yes.
when he needs them.
Yeah.
He falls back on Burn Autobot quite a bit.
I think the farthest he went to it, the Maximal No More, he uses the My Queen thing again, but in Aftermath, he says, Royalty, you've come for me.
Yeah. Yeah, but
That's
completely different. The My Queen bit is what bugs Megatron, not so much the royalty bit.
Yeah, he doesn't mind people bowing before him like a god.
Was it in this two-parter, or was it in another episode where I think Megatron added somebody, or I don't know if it was the Coming of the Fusers one where he's like, the ant has problems or issues or programming defects or something?
Maximal No More.
Okay. That's what I thought.
I'll recite that line when we get to that episode.
My last note... And then we can go with you, Steve. So we enter a new era in Beast Wars. Future developments will be most interesting. Now, I love, you know, we talked about the lighting in these first three episodes of season two. I love the fade out because it makes it so ominous. Especially, and the reason why it makes it so ominous and so great is because he is purplier and shiny.
Purplier.
Yes, that's what if you can create Autobotly, I can have purplier.
And then you've got Black Arachnia smiling with random numbers going through her face.
Yeah.
My optics are burning green.
She's got the Matrix in her soul. Well, if she's got the backup data in her brain, how does she keep that from Tarantulas?
When she downloaded it, she said, download data tracks, triple encrypt.
Yeah, but you'd think Tarantulas would at least know there's something in there, even if he doesn't know what it is. I mean, he's smart enough where that would tip him off.
Right, but he doesn't know yet, and there was a point where he tried to break through and she fought him off. Not in this episode, but in a later episode. The other thing we have to bring up, the whole her going into his brain in the season one finale and him now being in her head now, he actually plants stuff in her core consciousness, in her programming, because it comes up later when they try crossing of the Rubicon in season 3, I think,
yes.
Where they're trying to make her a Maximal because her Predacon shell programming is failing her, and he puts traps in there for them. So the whole him entering, you know, getting in her head and being there and controlling her, it lasts throughout the whole rest of the show.
Well, actually, he did that whole thing in the programming when he replaced the Maximal chip with a Predacon chip.
Oh, did he? I thought it was because of her going into his head.
No, it was because that was the programming that he customized and built.
Oh, okay.
Now, do they ever bring this up as a violation of her body, for lack of a better term, you know? Technically, he's raping her at this point.
He's mind-raping her.
Yeah, basically. But, I mean, do they ever, you know, point that out? Or is it just like, haha, I have control of your body now.
I think they do. I think they say something about, you know, when Tarantulas was in my head or, you know, something like I don't think they out and out say that he mind raped her or he mind fucked her, but.
You know what he did.
Yeah, you know what he did.
He took her back to his lair.
Yeah.
Oh,
God.
It's like, if I'm controlling your body, is that masturbation? Because I'm not sure exactly what's going on here.
Yikes.
You know, there was an episode, and Steve will understand this more than Mike will, but there was an episode of Star Trek, Voyager, where Seven of Nine was basically hacked, and they stole I think it was some of the nanobots or whatever out of her bloodstream, I think they stole. And it was portrayed, the whole plot line was portrayed as if she had been raped. And she was like, "Oh no, I've been raped." And
yeah, that sounds likely.
Yeah, yeah. And it, for me, it was like, well, technically they didn't like violate her body well, yeah, they did violate her body, but they didn't violate her hooch, you know?
But,
didn't get her out of her cat suit.
But they also did that in Star Trek Nemesis. Shinzon's Praetor, or not Praetor, his little Reman soldier, second in command, mind rape, Troy.
You know, honestly, I think I blocked that particular film out of my memory.
Well,
it was so bad.
That was the reason why there wasn't a film for so long until it rebooted.
Yeah, because it was so awful. Or because Troy got mind raped, or because it was an awful movie.
Just it was a shitty movie.
Yeah, it was. It was
really
bad.
I actually own that one, unfortunately, but that's because I'm a completist when it comes to the films.
I really regretted seeing it. I was kind of upset. I was expecting another First Contact and got some kind of weird shit with the bald guy.
Well, yeah, that film was crap, as was the one before.
You know, Steve, we're probably going to have to take about 3 weeks to record that episode for MWire, episode 100, when we do all the Star Trek films.
Yeah, we'll have to do 100.2.
No. Episode 100 is probably going to be the longest episode of that show because we're going to do all of the Star Trek films in one entire show, but we're going to have to record it in like 4 or 5 separate different records.
What are you, like masochists or something? Jesus.
Well, it's episode 100. Episode 100 I've ever heard was Earth2.net The Show, with Michael David Sims and at the time his then girlfriend Jenny C. They spent 7 hours and 15 minutes on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh Christ! that's just masochistic right there.
I think we'll hit 5 hours on that one, just because a half hour for each film.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the old verse, and then the Abrams verse
has its own episode.
God, you could. I mean, you know, the people have written dissertations on some of these movies.
Well, you don't even listen to MWire, so you really have no opinion.
I have an opinion, and my opinion is always right.
No,
no matter how many times people tell me the truth or facts or...
I'm not getting in on that one.
Whatever.
I'm going to stand by.
I never said I was right. I just voiced my opinion. I didn't say whether it was right or wrong. But whatever.
You're absolutely right, Wilson.
No.
You're full of crap, Wilson.
Shut up, Wilson.
Exactly. I'm
sick. Dennis the Menace after you. Steve, why don't you go ahead and give us your thoughts on part two?
Okay. The scene, I like this scene, where Megatron's standing there watching Tarantulas try and bug Black Arachnia for information about the computer system. And because they have that mind link instead of having to use comm links.
Yeah.
Megatron can't detect him, so he's like, "Who is that underhanded spider speaking? I detect no radio transmissions." So, I mean, I thought that was pretty cool.
He's talking to himself. Clearly he's insane.
Yeah. But
you're a nut job!
Megatron's like, "I just talk to myself because I'm more intelligent than everybody I have." He's like, Tarantulas is nuts.
Tarantula says, I just have a penchant for intelligent conversation.
Although Black Arachnia, when she is snooping through Megatron's shit, you see her throw all of Megatron's shit from his office.
The rubber ducky.
Yeah. You see his toys from his room, the ducky, Starscream's head, a book, which appears to be the same as the Covenant of Primus he carries in the Nemesis Part 1 and 2.
Mm.
He has some kind of a bowling pin. He has a pocket watch. He has a couple airplanes, a couple trophies. He's got a mace.
A mace? Nice.
Yes, like Megatron from G1's mace.
Yeah.
It doesn't light up. Yeah, it was just kind of strange seeing all these random items sitting there.
That's cool. I didn't actually stop motion it and analyze the pile, but I did see some stuff in there that were cool. And of course, the ducky.
Yeah, I'm sad I had to sit there and watch that. And also Inferno was to have been a reborn version of Megatron.
Really?
What? Yeah.
Where was that?
That was originally.
When they swap heads?
The writer was meant for that to have been Megatron be reformatted to Inferno kind of thing. Or scavengerish, but in a nod to their little idea, they swapped their heads.
That's
just for that, that crash scene.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. Yeah, that scavenger toy sucked ass.
Yes, it did.
The transmetal ants. That.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't like that at
all. It didn't even stand up, whereas the other one works. then there's. What is it? Optimus Primal's new body doesn't quite fit the established pattern for transmetals, considering they were people that came before they came to Earth. They were the ones that ended up in the transmetal, unless they're in the CR chamber. Same thing with the Earthborn. If they were born on the Earth,
that's right.
He was a raw protoform, so technically he should have got his old body back.
Yeah. It don't matter. That Blue Surfing Ape mofo is awesome. Shut up.
don't like that. Oh.
That's why he becomes an orange ape later.
You know, and to be honest, I think that might be why I don't like Ape Link from, the Bicon sets. Because it's this, number one, it's the same mold, right? But number two, when he's in robot mode, he's got that ugly ape face. I just don't like it. Don't like either one of them. No, sir. Don't like it.
Oh, and here's some other things that were in Megatron's stockpile that I missed. Somebody got apparently good read on everything that was in there. I guess he's got a submarine, a model helicopter, a number of books, and a Holy Grail. Three identical spiky planets, a model rocket. Those are things that I missed.
I was wondering how they saw all of this. Is it stuff that Black Arachnia was just tossing through the air? Or?
Yeah. Somebody got a really fast screenshot.
I guess so. I didn't really care to look at.
The only thing I noticed was the rubber ducky. That was the only thing that I found funny. The rest of it, meh.
Yeah.
Because he plays with his rubber ducky later in season 2.
Yeah.
Because he takes lots and lots of baths in front of the TV.
You know, when we get to that, we got to really talk about that. Is it an Energon bath? Is it a regeneration chamber that he just has in his own personal chamber that's acting like a tub? Or, you know, we're going to have to talk about that in depth when we get to it.
It's his own personal spa.
He's already been in the tub once already, right?
Mm-mm.
That was that episode where the purple dinosaur head was looking at him and he was petting it and brushing his teeth.
No, he was in the chair. He wasn't in the tub. He was in his high chair.
I seem to remember him being.
He
in the
wasn't.
Tub at some
point. There's a scene I believe.
No, he didn't do the tub thing until season 2.
Yeah, there's a scene in the tub where. Where we see him sitting in it from the back. Where we see, the back of his profile, the back of his head. But we don't actually see, him, a frontal shot of him in the tub until later in season 2.
See, it's just strange that, yeah, that he's got. See, he does things differently than everybody else because he's got the purple dinosaur head that looks at him and he pets it, and he snores, and he's got a bathtub. It just completely goes against convention.
Well, that's the whole point of the series.
It's what makes him a memorable character for one.
Oh yeah.
But for two, it's like, well, that's really different.
You have any other notes, Steve?
I would have to say when I first saw this episode, and it still holds true today, I love where Megatron goes up and he and the other Predacons are aiming at the damn near dead Maximals, tells them to finish it, and then you see this huge explosion and then all the shock on all the Predacons' faces and dropping their weapons.
Oh, it's...
And
what's...
gasping as Primal shows up and says, well, that's just Prime. And he's got the, you know, shield, and they all start, you know, Megatron says, shoot at him. They all start shooting at him. And then he says, my turn, and they're just blowing their ass away.
With built-in anti-aircraft
guns. Yeah. Yes. That's the other thing I wanted to bring up. I didn't bring up earlier. When the big giant body that we, quote-unquote, don't know, even though everyone can assume what it is, comes in front of the CR chamber and opens it where Silverbolt is, just the look on Silverbolt's face is priceless.
Just shocked.
Yeah, exactly. Just what the fuck did I do now?
Well, what kills me though is, you know, the Predacons are cowardly. They don't want to fight one on one most of the time, you know, and they're already fighting, well, massacring the Maximals because it's literally 3-1 at this point. Primal wakes up, and sure, they're all shocked as hell to see him, and that's understandable because he was dead, but they're still outnumbering them 2-1. And the three of them are beat all to slag. I mean, Rhinox has this huge hole in his chest. I mean, they're not looking like they're going to fight at all. So technically, it's, what, like 7 or 8 against Primal.
Yeah.
And the other three are kind of lying there like, I'm not dead, you know.
I feel happy.
I think I'll go for a walk now. And they could have, I think if they, well, I don't want to say if they had pooled their resources, or maybe if Megatron had been more effective rather than going, oh, fuck me, Primal's alive, they probably could have taken him.
Yeah, I have a real issue with Optimus and Inferno doing their whole duel thing, because Optimus's gun that was at the side of his leg or the side of his hip, it looks like a giant fucking blow dryer.
Oh, yeah.
Those My wind dumb. Will trump your fire and blow back in your face.
It looks like a giant fucking blow dryer.
Not even giant. You know what it reminds me of is
an ice cream launcher.
No,
ice cream launcher.
Take this, Rocky Road, bitch. No, it reminds me of Lego sets used to have a little piece that was like a nozzle,
like a horn type thing.
Yeah, that type of thing. But they would double as a laser gun, so you would put it in a little minifig's hand, and it would be a gun. But it was ridiculous, you know. And that's what this reminds me of. It looks like this ridiculous little nozzle on the side of his hip.
It looks like a water hose.
It's just kind of ridiculous.
Rarely
even looks like a gun, but you know.
What else you got, Michael?
I really liked Dinobot's kick-ass shotgun.
Yeah, that was cool.
I thought that was good. I mean, and it was like pump action, so he was like, chick-chick, boom, chick-chick, boom.
Yeah. Chick-chick, boom.
Chick-chick, boom, that's right. I dug it. I liked it a lot. And in the past, we've had damage models for some of the characters where they get the tar beat out of them, and, you know, they show them, and they're all like, with burnt edges and exposed wiring. And yeah, like Pterosaur, exactly. But here, you know, you've got your Rat Trap and Dinobot and Rhinox beat all the hell. And, you know, they've got Well, I want to say, as nice as the CGI has been so far in season two, they kind of dropped the ball here because the damage models aren't that good. I mean, you've got Rhinox with a big hole in his chest, and that's about it. You know, it's like, you're damaged. How can we tell? Because you've got this gaping hole in your, you know, your rhino's bottom jaw. And the other two were just kind of lying there on the ground. I think Cheetor was just kind of lying there on the ground. There wasn't really much going on with him. Rattrap barely looked damaged at all. But I think Rattrap was mostly under Cheetor at that point.
Yeah.
So I thought, man, they should all have really nice damage models at this point. But wasn't happening.
No.
Which was, again, huge hole in Rhinox's chest, but that's about as much as they did. And they didn't even bother to, you know, singe him or anything or give him exposed wires or any sparking or anything like that that you would normally see earlier.
At least he wasn't sneezing Energon.
Well, they would have won hands down if he was sneezing Energon. Turned him around and pointed his ass at Megatron. Let's see if your shiny new transmetal body can handle this.
Eat it and weep.
That's right. Yeah, roller skate eater. Away from this right now.
You know, I gotta bring something else up. Something I didn't bring up before, and I don't know why I didn't make a note of it. When I was going back, I was going back to get the Doggybot follow Waspinator, Waspinator will lead thing audio. And I was watching this chase scene between Cheetor and Silverbolt. And it's my Skype image that's the Beast Unleashed art that was potentially going to be art for this episode, where as soon as Silverbolt sees Cheetor, his dog instincts just come right out. And he's like, yeah, he's drooling. He wants a piece of Cheetor.
Chase the kitty.
The Cobalt kitty.
Well, he's like, it's like he's chasing a car. He's like, whoa!
Yeah.
Robo. Nothing. Not going there.
Not going there.
That's what else you want to bring up, Michael?
You know, I think that's about it. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, in the beginning, it wasn't looking at all good for Cheetor, Dinobot, and Rattrap. And, you know, it didn't look much better when Rhinox came to back him up either. So it was just rough on them all over.
Yes, it was. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. We will be back after this.
I really miss the boss monkey.
Hey, this is Cheetor, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast, Ultra Gear.
To be or not to be, that is the question. These discs I hold are the record of what will be, or only of what may. For if the future is indeed immutably foretold, then my demise is but moments from that confirmation. For I could not live if not the master of my fate. But if the future can be changed, if these discs record merely one path of all the myriad ways the cosmos might conform, then their power is infinite, and yet still limited, for they could be used but once, and in their change be rendered fiction forevermore. Oh, I could destroy them! But no, it would be a coward's answer. I will know the truth instead. Then it will be either them or me, that face oblivion. Till then.
This is quote number one. This is quote number two.
Where'd you go, anyway?
Where all are one.
Oh, where are... What?
And quote number three.
Oh, sir, don't mean Wasbinator. Wasbinator just lie here and suffer. Drag himself to see our tank.
Well, that's it for the beginning of Season 2. What did you guys think so far compared to, like, going from the end of Season 1 to the beginning of this? Michael?
From the end of Season 1 to the beginning here, there was a huge jump in production value. Again, the lighting effects were better. The CGI in general was better. I was just really, really happy with the production value. The downside is you really had to know what happened in the last episode when you hit the aftermath episode.
Yeah.
Because if you weren't if you weren't on the ball and you didn't know what happened with everybody, then you'd be wondering what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Kind of like I was. I was like, wait, I'm gonna have to go back and watch the final episode of season one all over again because I have no idea what's going on. I knew what was going on, but it took me a second to think about it and go, well, what happened to Tranchulus? And why is Rhinox over here in Stasis? And, what's going on? But, once they cleared everything up, then they bring in the Fusors, and they only brought in two.
And see, that's the whole thing I don't get. I mean, yeah, I agree with your opinions on the upping in the production quality and all that, but it's supposed to be this huge two-part episode, and two-part episodes are technically hour-long stories, yeah. Combined. But it says coming of the Fusors, and yes, I know Fusors it's plural, it means two, but it's like, wow, only two? And that's why I said earlier, I could have sworn that there was four stasis pods that landed, not two or three or however many there actually were.
Well, you get one that's going to be primal, the dud.
Yep.
And then you get two that are Fusors, and you get one that's a zombie former.
Yep.
And where the hand that goes rawr, out of the ground.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess that's your four. But I mean, there's a lot of Fusors as far as the toys go. And some really cool ones that would be neat to have seen on the show. But I'm thinking that those are the only two that really exist until the Vok combine Air Razor and Tegatron.
He was going to say Terratron.
Pterosaur.
So wait.
Pterosaur. Oh,
so technically that would be a triple transsexual. It'd be Air Razor, Tegatron, and Pterosaur?
Wouldn't that be like a tiger? That'd be like a red tiger hawk. I would buy a red Tigerhawk repaint. Mix them in with a little pterosaur there.
Give tiger them whore.
Tiger whore.
Tiger.
Tiger. Tiger sore hawk.
You said mix in a little red there, first thing I thought of was, so just the gold then, sir? Nah. Why don't you hit it up with a little bit of Hot Rod Red from Iron Man 1?
That's right. It's like, yo, dog, I heard you like pterosaur, so we put some pterosaur in your tiger hawk, so you can tiger hawk while you pterosaur.
What about you, Steve? What do you think of the transition from season one to season two?
Definitely an awesome upgrade in graphics, lighting, just overall, the whole style of the show has gotten much, much better since season one. And in this, you see a lot more detail, a lot of new character development, new plot twists. Instead of just the same old from season one, it's actually going at a faster pace into new and more dangerous aspects of the show.
Oh, yeah. I can pretty much guarantee you a lot of the season two version of TBU. Even though Michael will hate this, but I can pretty much guarantee you these episodes, while we're in season two, are probably going to go at least an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 45 minutes, whereas the majority of season one episodes ranged from 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes. Just because there's a whole – I took more notes for the two-parter than I think I took in any of the season one episodes when I was taking notes.
And the fact that we'll have four episode and five episode
shows. No, because – well, I'll get to it when I get into the outro. So let's go into that. So thank you for joining us here on Beast Unleashed Podcast. There are several ways to contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each of the episode posts. Join the forums, protoconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Beast Unleashed. Mine is TFG on Mike. Michael, what is your Twitter?
Pecan Court Michael.
And Steve?
SCP-21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name, 502-526-5821. Again, if you guys want to still be able to call us and leave us voicemails, please go to the website and donate. We're still trying to raise $65 to get that get those fees paid for the next year. So please go donate. Be sure to visit our partners. Partners at www.blogomatic3000.com.
Our UK affiliate.
Yes, there we go. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast. Join us next time when we'll be reviewing. It's really four episodes, but because the way we do two-parters, it's actually only three. From Beast Wars Season 2, those being Tangled Web, Maximal No More, and Other Visits Parts 1 and 2. For now, I am TFG on Mike with...
Steve Michael Megatron Wilson. Phillips.
And Steve Phillips. Who's going first? Who's on first?
I don't know who's on third.
What's on second?
Who?
Michael Wilson. Hey, how's it going?
And Steve Megatron Phillips.
Yes, Megatron, close the show.
Watch our episodes or listen, or I will hunt you down and terminate you. Yes.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.